We are in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through the end of the chapter primarily. We may hopefully finish it all. We may not. And we'll be looking at other verses as well. For now, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And let's see what God has to say to us as readers, as His creation, as His children. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and this time that we could spend reading it. We know that your word is holy and it's able to restore souls. Your word is alive and it feeds us the inner man. It gives us your word through faith. As we couple your word by faith, that we've received life. It's revealed to us the gospel, the good news that Christ has come into the world to save sinners. And we cried out to you when we recognized your mercy and grace. And Lord, there's so many answers that we receive from your word about life and how to live this life in a way that's pleasing to you. And there's some tough things that you have called us to do. We read some very difficult things right now. And so, God, I pray that as we go through these verses, that for some of us it may seem confusing, it may seem very counter what we believe or feel, being brought up in a sense, in this world, in this culture, in this world system. I pray, God, that you would give us an understanding in order for us as your sons and daughters to be able to be better equipped to obey you. And Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that you would, by your Spirit, just draw them into your love and help them to know that your thoughts towards them are good and your desire is to bless them with a wonderful future. And Jesus, I pray that you'd reveal yourself in a profound and wonderful way, that the listener may understand that you died on the cross for their sin and that you love them and that you are the Savior of the world, the only way, the truth, and the life, and that you are to be trusted, knowing that this life is temporary. We're only here for a season that goes by so fast, and that you've provided for us an eternal life in heaven, in your kingdom, a kingdom that has no end. And God, you desire that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God, I pray that you would do a great work among us, multiple things, feeding, convicting, strengthening, encouraging, helping us to have a greater understanding of your will and greater guidance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I titled this morning's message, Yield, Yield, with the idea of this is the way to silence the critics, to silence the critics. Now, it's important to understand that because we are followers of Christ, we are going to have people that criticize us just right off the bat. And the natural tendency of men, and the natural tendency is so often when someone says something maybe negative about you or someone attacks you because of a belief you hold or someone does or says something about you that is not true to your character, the natural tendency is to retaliate. That's the natural human response, generally speaking. But as Christians, we are to live a very different way. And here Peter is telling us that one of the ways that we are to yield as citizens of heaven, even though we're here on the earth as citizens of heaven, one of the ways that we are to be a witness and to silence the critics is what I mentioned, a word, yield, which comes from a word that we read here in the text, submit ourselves to. And then he mentions three different groups that we are to submit ourselves to: authority, the employer, and we didn't read this, but next time we get together, talks about submission in the home. And we'll talk about the authority that's in a home. And all of these different things, God has ordained that there is authority. There's authority in government, there's authority in the workplace, and there's authority in the home. God has designed authority structure. And it's so important for us as Christians to not retaliate and fight against the authorities that have been established behind the scenes. It's hard for us to see it because we see government, or we see the boss, or we see a spouse, we see certain authorities, parents, we see different authorities and we see them. But behind it all, God has established authority. And we, one of the ways, especially as Christians, for us to silence the unbeliever is to not fight against unbelievers and retaliate, but to yield. Thinking of yield, you know, it's funny, some years ago, I had left my house. I lived on Crescent Drive, right off the Sherwood Drive, right off the 19. How many of you are familiar with that area? Well, I lived in that track. And so one day I just went from Sherwood Drive and I just drove right onto the 104. And I did that right in front of a cop. And I looked and I saw, well, the cop's not that close. You know, I could just go right out in front of him. So that's exactly what I did. I just went right out in front of him. I was happy as can be. And those lights come on. And he pulls me over. And so, you know, the first thing I did was roll down the window, and I get prepared for it, you know, and I try to yield and comply, you know. And there's a part, I don't know if you're this way, but there's a part of me that has a tendency to have like a chip on my shoulder towards authority. I don't know why, since I was little, you know. But Christ has changed that in me. And the Lord saved me when I was 19. So, but I still have that natural tendency is to be a jerk. I don't know why. I don't know. But I learned, you know, the song goes, I fought the law and the law won. You know, I've learned you just don't fight the law. The best thing to do is to comply, to submit, to yield. So he comes up and he says, hey, do you know why I pulled you over? And he was a young guy. You know, it's interesting how the older you get, the younger people look. And to me, it's like he looked like he was a teenager, but he must have been in his 20s, maybe even 30s. And I said, no, officer, I have no idea why you pulled me over. So he says, well, you're supposed to stop at a stop sign. And I said, well, officer, that wasn't a stop sign, it's a yield sign. And I was being very, very, you know, compliant. And he goes, you're supposed to stop. And I said, and then he said, a yield sign? And I said, yeah, it's a yield sign. And otherwise, I would have stopped at a stop sign. It's a yield sign. And I go, you can go and check. There's two yield signs, one at Sherwood and one at Sugar Tree. Right? Who lives on Sugar Tree or off of? Isn't it a yield sign? Unless they changed it. I mean, it was some years ago. It's a yield sign. And so the police officer, he says, all right, well, if it's a yield sign, and he went, he looked, and it was true. I was doing the right thing. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't, like, blast out, you know. And then he understood that, all right, he didn't do anything wrong. So there was no ticket. There was no nothing. I just went on my way. And it was a good experience. It was a real good experience. And I love law enforcement. I've learned to love law enforcement. And I support law enforcement. I really do. You know, when you comply, when you cooperate, then you find that they're just doing their job. Now, this is what God has called us to do in general. In general, when it comes to authority, we are called to yield and to submit. Now, submit is a real tough word for us, for Americans. You know, for Americans, it is hard to submit because we're so about freedom and liberty and don't you tell me what to do. And I get that. I'm an American. You know, I'm an American. I can do whatever I want. You know, that's the kind of mentality we so often have. But we're not, once we become Christians, we are under a whole different governmental structure. And as Christians, we are to be a light to this world that is governed by darkness. Primarily, I'm not saying that everyone in government and all law enforcement are all supervisors or managers, or I'm not saying they're all evil. That's not what I'm saying. But by and large, it's a system that Jesus identified the world as darkness. And even though God has established government, there are a lot of unbelieving people in government. And we are not to say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have to listen to government. I can do what I want. I'm a citizen of heaven. God is my Father. You can't tell me what to do. I've seen videos where people get pulled over and they are so not compliant whatsoever. They ask for their driver's license. They ask for information. And the individual gives them such a hard time. Then they wonder why they get pulled out of the car and, you know, handcuffed. And And one guy, I remember, he was a younger guy. He said he didn't have to have a license or anything, and didn't have to give any of his information. You know why? Because he was a traveler. I don't even know what that means. Because I'm a traveler. Anyway, that's not the way we are to be as followers of Christ. God desires for us to view government, to view employers, to view authority figures in a very, very different way. And it's really for our good, but it's not only for our good, it's for their good. It's for witness sake. Because it's a terrible testimony if we call ourselves Christians, children of God, and we resist the authority that God has placed in place in society. And I'm afraid that there are some who profess Christianity that don't hold a biblical view of authority. And God does want us as his children to relate to authority in ways that promote his kingdom. And one of the things that he wants us to do is to yield, to submit. And as I was saying, submit is not a very popular word. I know so often as a minister that officiates over wedding ceremonies, when I read the portion of the scriptures that says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, I always say that with a sense of, oh, this is not going to go over well. You know? And I could look at the face, I could look at her face, and she looks at him like, Then there's so many others out there watching, and you can just see some of the faces, you know, and it's like, oh, well, it's not about me. It's your truth, Lord. And for those of us who embrace it, we understand all the benefits that come from submission, from yielding, from cooperating. And, you know, we're going to get into some of the specifics that help bring greater definition and greater understanding to what Peter is communicating and why he's communicating these things to help us. Because when things are too general, sometimes it's hard to know when to apply biblical truths under what circumstances. And so we want to make sure that we understand these things correctly, so that way we apply them correctly, we live them out correctly. And so we are, as God's sons and daughters, as 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says, we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, the word submit, biblical submission, and there's a difference of what I think submission is and what the Bible teaches submission is. And I have to, as a follower of Christ, I have to embrace and receive what the Bible says. And biblical submission, the idea itself comes from a Greek military term meaning to arrange. And it is in reference to troops, and how troops get in order under one commander. There's one commander that gives instructions to many, and those many get in harmony, and they work together as a unit to get, you know, to be compliant and cooperate under the direction and the guidance of the one who gives command, the one leader. Now for us, the one who gives the command, who is the leader, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who we are to follow. And as a troop, if you would, all of us are to be in tune with him. And when we're in tune with him, we'll be in tune with one another. But he's the one who gives the commands. And this is what we're reading. What we're studying today, it's good. Most of us understand this, but it's good to be reminded that these aren't just words of a man. Peter didn't just come up with this stuff on his own. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was writing under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And so God is the one who's giving us this direction through a human author, writer, I should say, but it's a divine author. And so it's important to keep that in mind. These aren't just words of a man. These are words from our God. And so we are to yield and to submit. And in a non-military sense, biblical submission, it is a voluntary, it's an attitude where you, and it, that's what really what it is, it's an attitude of your own volition. It's not that someone's forcing you to do something. You're not doing something because you have to. You're doing something because you want to. And in our case, we want to please God. We want to be light and salt in this world. We want to advance the kingdom of God. And our conduct, and that's what we've been studying. Peter's been talking about conduct, how we conduct ourselves in this world as Christians. And our conduct can be a thing that turns people off from God and from following Christ. Or it could be something that helps people to see, wow, that individual says that they're a Christian and their conduct proves that what they're saying is valid and true. They obviously believe what the Bible says because their conduct demonstrated it. There's nothing worse than when you see, and I'm sure all of us have experienced this, when you see a person who confesses to be a Christian, but their conduct betrays their confession. Have you ever met anyone like that? Now, none of us are perfect, and from time to time we'll blow it. That's because we're human. We're not perfected yet. But there are some folks who you see that somewhat as a pattern. They profess to know Christ, but then their conduct consistently betrays that they know Christ. That shouldn't be. And God, He desires for us to have an attitude that we voluntarily yield, and specifically He's talking about government, but we voluntarily yield to those in authority, that our conduct would show that we truly are believers in Christ. And we show that by the way that we relate and interact with authority. And that voluntary attitude, of course, is giving in. It's yielding. It's not being resistant. Like me when I was younger, a boss, a teacher, a parent, I got to an age where if you were an authority figure, I was going to butt heads with you because I was a rebel. It's hard to believe, right? But before I knew Christ, I was quite a rebel. And God had to change that because that's not what being a Christian is like. We are to yield. We are to cooperate. We are to assume responsibility when an authority says, hey, you take care of this without an attitude. We are to take care of certain things. And even it has a reference to carrying a burden. And back in Jesus's day, a Roman soldier can mandate someone to carry a burden. Hey, you pick this up and you carry this for up to a mile. I don't remember what the distance was. And a Jewish man under a Roman government would not like that and easily could buck. But they were by law responsible if they were given that order. They were responsible to carry a burden for an authority in the government, civil government. And so understanding that we're Christians, understanding that we are to reflect the ways of God and Christ, Peter says, submit yourselves to, notice, every ordinance of man. Every ordinance of man, every governmental structure, every institution of man that has governance, that is legit, You know, when you see videos of people going into the courtroom and say, "Hey, we pay taxes here. We pay your check." You ever see that? Especially like during the pandemic and all the stuff that was going on. There's a lot of rebels, a lot of people that were resisting authority, burning cop cars. And remember? Do you remember? I mean, it's almost like we wanted to wipe that out of our minds, huh? It was like, did that all really happen? Remember? Yeah, it really did. And there was a lot of ugly in our communities, a lot of rebels in our communities. And, you know, to some degree, I can understand some of the things, like when government, and we'll talk about that, government restricts you from worshiping God. We'll talk about when is there a time when we should not yield to governmental structures and authorities. We'll talk about that. But there's a lot of things that people were doing that were just ungodly. They were resisting every ordinance of men, not submitting, but resisting, fighting authorities. And then he says, and we ask the question, well, why do we do what we do as Christians? Why? Why submit yourself to every ordinance of man? Because we want to? Well, if you're like me, I don't want to. My natural desire is like, forget you. I'm going to do what I want. I'm an American. You can't tell me what to do. But we don't do it because we want to. Submission is never, generally, it's not an easy thing. I mean, we learn as Christians, being influenced under the Holy Spirit, we learn to develop a yielding attitude. It's a learned thing. Generally, by nature, we don't want to yield. But we do it, why? He says, for the Lord's sake. That's the reason why we do it. For Christ. To accomplish His purposes, His mission. And because of out of gratitude, because of what He's done for us. Our Savior is so merciful. He saved our souls. We were going to go to hell. I was going to go to hell. If I continued the way that I was going before I turned to Christ, I was going to go to hell. You didn't have to tell me that. Deep down inside, I knew it. Whenever the topic of God came up, I knew I wasn't right with Him. And if I were to die, I was going to go to hell. I knew that. But He delivered me from that pit that I was in. And in ignorance, I didn't even know how bad it was. But the gospel, the message of Christ came, it reached my heart at some point. And at 19 years old, I'll never forget, I got on my knees before the Lord. I came under conviction. I said, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done many things that are wrong and that go against Your will. And I pray You forgive me. And He did. He had mercy on me. And you know what? Humanly speaking, by nature, I'm not any better 30 plus years later. That nature is still just as wicked. You can't reform this wicked nature. But now we have new natures as Christians. We've been born again, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, and He helps us to overcome and to walk in self-control, not let the passions and the desires of our hearts just rule and reign without any, you know, restriction or reservations. Well, out of gratitude for all that Christ has done for us, He says, you know, for the Lord's sake, we should submit ourselves, yield, cooperate to every ordinance of men. And then he starts to mention whether verse 13, to the king as supreme. We don't have a monarchy here. There's a democracy here, but nevertheless, we have a president and we have a governmental system. And so, of course, it's included. Or to governors, or to those who are sent by him, law enforcement. Now, it's interesting because look at what their primary job is, and we can understand when people aren't doing their job, and that's what frustrates us even more, right? In other words, when you know what someone's job is, and they're in positions of authority, and they're not doing their job well, but you're under that governance, it could be very upsetting and very frustrating. And then yet, you know, you're very limited as to what you can do. When you see corruption in government, it's upsetting. When you see the righteous being punished, and you see people that are doing crime and wicked, they're not getting the kind of punishment that they should be getting. And there's a lot of injustices. That could be very, very upsetting. But this is what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to, what he says is, here, number one, two things. They are sent by the governor, or there's law enforcement, for the punishment of evildoers. To punish evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. That's really their primary job, is to punish evildoers. And then to be a blessing to those who do good. And in a perfect world, and generally speaking, you know, if you do good, you shouldn't have to worry about things, but sometimes it's just not like that. But I find it fascinating. What category do you think Christians fall under? Probably you naturally thought, well, we're the ones who do good. We're considered the ones who do good. That's the category. And yes, in the big sense, from God's perspective, that's true. But from the world's perspective, that's not true. Not completely. And why do I say that? Well, I say that because of what Peter said in the verse before we started, in verse 12. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, another word to mean unbeliever, that when they speak against you as evil doers. Isn't that interesting? The world sees Christians as evildoers. That's pretty much how you're viewed. Hey, if you didn't realize that before, well, welcome to the church. I mean, welcome to the faith. I remember when I first got saved, I thought everybody would be happy. Hey, I became a Christian. I'm not smoking pot anymore. I'm not out there doing crime. I'm not there out there getting into trouble anymore. And it's amazing how many people would have rather had me stay the way that I was. They liked me better then. So how can that be? I guess they didn't like me saying, hey, the way you're living is not right. God loves you. You got to change. I guess they didn't like that. But here, he says, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. But going back to evildoers, that's the way the world sees us. You know, we're pro-life. And because we're pro-life, you know, there's people that are against us just because we're pro-life. We're pro-marriage. Pro-marriage from how God's designed marriage between one biological man and one biological woman. And people hate us because we're homophobics. And that's not true. We love all people. What did we read here? He says, honor what? All people. Because all people are worthy of honor. Because all people, whether they're obeying God or not, all people are created in the image of God. And we're to respect all people and help people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's sad, though, that there are some people that profess Christianity, and you would think by the way that they conduct themselves, they hate everybody. And they, in a sense, they give Christianity a real bad name. But when you understand the scriptures the way that they're supposed to be taught, you understand that God loves all people. And we are called to love and honor all people and help them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we're considered evildoers. And so he says, prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. They're going to speak. It doesn't say if they speak evil of you or speak against you as evildoers. He says, when? And so he says, prove them wrong. And how do you prove them wrong? By your conduct. He says, by your good works. By your works that benefit other people who oppose you because you are a child of God. And he makes sure that he says, which they observe. Telling us that we as Christians, we are not to isolate and just hide within the church walls and live a different life out there, live like them out there. No, that we are to bring the gospel out into the world and be among people, loving people, interacting with people, not condemning people. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. Our Lord said, I didn't come to condemn, but to save. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. And we're supposed to be salt and light and a reflection of Christ. That's why he says, for the Lord's sake. And he says, by your conduct, let them observe your good works or your behavior and the way that you conduct yourself that manifests itself in helping other people. And so as Christians, we are to think, how can I help this individual? How can I do things in a way where they see that I'm not attacking them or I'm not against them, that I love them and I want to help them. I want to help them know their Creator. How can I, God, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, help me to not come across in a way that's prideful or not in a way that is condemning or in a way that makes people feel that I'm judging them. You know, when there's someone dying, let's say somebody, this is fictitious, but I'm just making this up on the go, so pray for me. This is where I get into trouble, when I just go with it. But when someone is drowning, let's just imagine someone's drowning. Someone falls off a boat and they're in the water drowning. The first thing you do is you try to save that individual, right? If you're able, you throw them a life raft. You wouldn't say, hey, how have you been these last weeks? Have you been reading your Bible? Hey, how do you treat your wife? You treat your wife right? Hey, I noticed before you fell in that you were smoking a cigarette or whatever, and God's judging you. You don't do that. You throw out a life raft. You try to save. And then that way of saving and reaching them, that, oh, thank you. You saved my life. Thank you. That opens doors for us to minister. And so we have to pray and ask God for wisdom and how to reach people. People, and we have to know, people that already, once you say you're a Christian, they already are against you. But you can't take it personal. You just got to understand that that's a reality that comes with being a Christian. Now, Paul touches on the same thing that Peter talks about. And Paul gives us some more insight. And what Peter was talking about, just again as a remembrance, is submit yourself to every ordinance of man. So if you turn to Romans chapter 13, Paul gives us some great insight on this subject of submission to governing authorities. Romans chapter 13, listen to what Paul says. He says, let every soul, beginning in verse 1, be subject to governing authorities. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities. That word subject is another way of saying be submitted to governing authorities. And every soul, every believing Christian, I mean, everyone should, but especially Christians. Now notice what he says. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So the government that we're under and the governments of the world, as hard as it is to believe, those governments, they are instituted by God. Now, whether they're corrupt or not, they're all going to have to give an answer to God. And we know that God is a just God. We know that God is a God of judgment. So everyone will have to give an account to God. But God, he developed government. And some folks, sadly, they hijack and they take over and say, God, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm in control now. And people do that with their own lives. I mean, every breath we have, who does it come from? It comes from God. We're not guaranteed another breath. These bodies, who'd they come from? God created us. And some people take what they have from God and say, God, I don't need you. I do what I want. And others say, God, I'm sorry. I need you. But regardless, all of us are accountable to God. Well, the government, as far as Paul the Apostle, who also is writing under the inspiration of God, tells us is that the government has been established by God, and all authorities, the authorities that exist, are appointed by God. And we might not understand all the reasons behind why God allows certain things, but we do understand that authority has been appointed by God, the authorities that exist, and he has a reason for them. And then he says this in verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Yeah, but God, it's a corrupt government. I'm not going to pay my taxes. Why should I pay my taxes? They're just going to support abortion clinics. Why should I pay for that? And some people think that way. And the Bible doesn't tell us we can pick and choose. It just says, hey, we got to pay our taxes. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but look at, he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And in general, that's the case. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, it's true, because in my prior days, that is, before I knew Christ, I started rebelling at around 12. How many of you started rebelling around 12? How many of you started maybe even younger? How many of you maybe a little older than that? So by our admission, this room is filled with a bunch of rebels. So I started rebelling about 12. About 15, I got to a point where it's like, nobody can control me. My parents can control me, teachers. And I got myself in trouble with the law. Nothing major. But I had so many tickets. So many speeding tickets. I had 2 aggravated unlicensed tickets. I had tons of issues, you know, with always paying those stupid tickets. It's like I worked just for, anyway. I had a bench worn out for my arrest because of the driving, and I had either 6 months in jail or $1,000 bail. I don't even remember this stuff, you know. Anyway, I got saved, and I realized that when I got saved, I couldn't keep just blowing that kind of stuff off. I had to become responsible. So that all got dealt with. But in that short time, you know, I got my license at 16. From 16 to 19, I got saved at 19. That short time, I got in so much tickets and legal issues. Now, as a Christian, I got none of those issues. I got no issues with the law. It's true. I mean, all these years is walking with a Christian, yeah, I still got a few tickets here and there. But you just pay them and then that's it, you're done. More times now, I get pulled over, and by God's grace, I get pulled over and they let me go. I just got pulled over the other day. I was coming to the church to officiate over a funeral. And I got pulled over. And, you know, it's a very different scenario now. There's no attitude now. But anyway, the police officer was awesome. What a blessing. And he understood what was going on. I didn't realize I was speeding. I was doing like 47 and a 30. Hey, let me warn you. East Ave, that is a trap, man. Avoid that like the plague. I am warning you. Because you could just be worshiping the Lord, you got the music on, and you're talking to your spouse, and you have no idea that you're speeding. Because it's like, you learn it's 30, and then it's 40, then it's 55. It's just changing all the time. And it's like, it's only like 10 feet. It's like, when am I? I don't understand it. Anyway. But the point of it is that when you're doing what's pleasing to God, generally speaking, you don't have any issues with the law, right? You don't have any issues with the law. You learn how to yield and submit and to do what's right. Now here, Paul tells us about the law enforcement. He says, notice verse 4, he is God's minister. Wow. So all of those who are in law enforcement, whether they realize it or not, doesn't mean that they're a preacher, but they are a servant. They're a civil servant, and God has ordained them to be in that position. He says he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, if you resist the authority that God's placed there, then you should be afraid. And look what he says, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Now it's a different weapon, but in Paul's day, it was a sword. And he didn't bear the sword in vain. In other words, if a person did what was wrong and it was worthy of punishment, then the law enforcement would use the sword as a mean of executing judgment and has God's backing. He says, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. He says, therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, not because you're afraid of the consequences, but also because of conscience sake, conscience towards God. This is God's minister. He may be an unbeliever. He may have an attitude. And sometimes police officers, the way that they approach a person, they can be a little rough, but I'll tell you, I've learned that you don't fight, and I might have mentioned that, but I have so many stories, I think we're not even going to get through any verses here. But years and years ago, this was before I was a Christian, this was before I was married to my wonderful wife of over 30 years, and before we were dating. So I was with a different girlfriend, and I was with another couple, so, and this was before school. I was going to drop them off, then I was going to go to work. And we were partying, I'll be honest with you. And so we pulled up to a gas station, and, you know, the main street, and there's a four corner, or three or four corners. Anyway, we pulled up, and the girl that I was with, she was smoking, let's say, a pipe. Let's put it that way. And there was a police officer, and we couldn't see because there was something that was blocking, but there was a police officer in the parking lot ready to pull out and just was right there. And we pull up, and he saw what was going on. She got so scared and so nervous, she threw the pipe down. Well, we got pulled over. Guess what side of the car he came to? Her side. And he says, hey, ma'am, when you saw me, why is it that you got so nervous? And you know what she said? Because I hate cops. How do you think that went over? That did not go over well. So she got He didn't come to my side. She got pulled out of the car. They took her purse. Then there was a couple cops. And the other girl that was in the back seat followed her pattern. And it's like me and the dude, we're so chill. We're like, I'm watching this, and this is not going well for them. Threw their purse all over the car. I mean, it was. I don't know why I brought that up. But if you do evil, be afraid. Because when you fight against the law, you know, sometimes it could even be rough, but when you fight against them, the best thing to do is comply and be wise, because they're an avenger, as verse 4 says, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. He says, therefore, you must be subject, not just because of wrath, but because of conscience sake. Then he says, verse 6, he says, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. In other words, we are responsible to support them in their work, to financially support them, because they are in the job, the business, their business of executing judgment on those who practice evil. I'll tell you, I would not want to be in a position of an officer. People who are officers, I think to myself, I commend you for the stuff that you have to deal with on a regular basis, especially in our time and post-pandemic and during the pandemic. I can't imagine what the police officers went through. It had to be something that, you know, it's just terrible. And here we're called to support them financially, to pay our taxes. He says, render therefore, verse 7, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs are customs, fear to whom fear. He says, honor to whom honor, and owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And that's so true. When you love others, you don't want to do anything that's going to upset them. You don't want to do anything that's going to hurt, you know, you don't want to do anything to hurt them. You want to do things that promotes their well-being, right? When you love, you want to see, you want to promote good, not evil. Now, even Jesus yielded to authority, and we're going to end pretty soon, but even Jesus yielded to authority. He didn't have to, but he did. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, takes us to a time when the disciples, in particular Peter, was questioned by those that received temple tax. And this is what the question was. In verse 24, it says, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher pay the temple tax? And then Peter just answered yes. He said, yeah. I don't think he really knew. He just took it upon himself to answer. But he answered yes. That's probably better than saying no, or I don't know, I don't think so. He just said yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? That's interesting, because Jesus named Peter, but here he calls him Simon. And oftentimes when he had something to correct Peter for, or help Peter understand something a little bit better from a biblical perspective, which God is helping us to understand about authority and being submissive to authority from a biblical perspective, he would use Simon instead of Peter. He says, from whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Does a king charge his own kids? Hey, you got to pay tax. Well, of course not. He charges taxes to people who aren't a part of his family. And Jesus is the king. Everything belongs to him. And so Peter said, well, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are free, right? And humanly speaking, or spiritually speaking, and in all sense, really, in all points, Jesus would be free from paying taxes. But notice what Jesus says. He says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up from up first. And when you have opened its mouth, he did a miracle here, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Jesus himself says, we don't want to offend. And he yields. He complies. He does the very thing that he's asking us to do. He didn't have to do that, but he sets an example for us. We read that how Jesus set an example for us. We're not going to get to it today. But we understand that we are called as Christians to cooperate with those that are in any authority. We're not to resist and give people a hard time because it tarnishes our witness. And not only does it tarnish our witness, it can also cause others who look to us when they understand that we're Christians and we're shady or we're insubordinate or we're combative. It will cause other people to say, you know what, if that's what Christianity is about, I don't want nothing to do with that. And that's the opposite of what we are called to do. We're called to silence the critics, and we're called to silence them by our good works. We'll finish with verses 15 and 16 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what he says here. He says, for this is the will of God. What is the will of God? That by doing good, you may put to silence, notice, the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Let's just finish with verse 17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. This is our responsibility. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and your word that instructs us in the way of righteousness. Some things are tough, especially when we are being mistreated and we feel that we should retaliate because what's being done to us is wrong. God, help us to have wisdom. Give us wisdom and how to manage those things. Jesus, no one has done as much wrong to us as they did to you. You were innocent, guiltless. You never did anything wrong. You broke no laws. You never did any crime whatsoever, nor did you support it. And yet, you were treated like one of the worst criminals that exist. You were met with capital punishment. You were hated and abused, and you did it all for us. You gave your life on the cross for our sins, and you rose from the grave for our justification. Lord, we want to follow your example. I can't imagine that you would call any of us to suffer to that extent. But even if we were to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, your word tells us to rejoice and to be glad, knowing that our reward is in heaven. So help us to be those servants that don't retaliate, but on the contrary, that we do our part as citizens of heaven primarily, and also as those that are citizens here, that we would be cooperative and yield and reflect you in our behavior. In Jesus' name, amen.